God always has a plan. He's had it from the foundation, even before the foundation of the world, the scriptures tell us. He had a plan. And so God planned it, and we are to follow it. I want to share three things about God's plan. I wonder if God is asking, and he keeps on asking churches, keeps on asking individuals, who changed my plans? If our plans do not align up with the plan of God, then we're in trouble. And I've learned that over the years, and I'm sure many of you have. And it's so good to be reminded again that the Lord keeps asking us, and I think he's asking us that every day, who changed my plans? I want to say there are three facts about God's plan. When God makes a plan, he always follows through. There's three things about God's plan. It's documented. It's not a plan that's fluctuating. It's not a plan that can be changed. It's a plan that is documented. The blueprint is recorded between Genesis and Revelation. That's why I keep stressing so much. Read through from Genesis to Revelation. You'll discover the plan of God for you, your family, your church, our world. It's all there, and we need to keep on reading. The second aspect of God's plan, second fact is, it's unchangeable. Nothing in all the universe can modify the plans of God. Nothing. The plan of God will stand the test of time and will come true. The third thing is that the plan of God is guaranteed. It's a guaranteed plan. God has planned it and it will materialize. And nothing can stop the plan of God happening. No one can thwart God's plan. No one can change God's plan. If I can change my slide, that'll be wonderful. Let me see if I can do that. Yes. If Jesus walked in today, let's presume, just imagine Jesus walking in through the back door now, and he walked in here and conducted an assessment of Wonthaggi Baptist Church against his original blueprint for our church. I wonder what score would Jesus give us today? I'm gonna stop here and ask you to look at your neighbor next to you and say, what score do you think Jesus would give us today? Come on, go for it. You know, you can talk in church, you know that. Okay, if you've asked the question, what score that Jesus would score us with today? All right. What did they say? Would he find us to be a strong spiritual church, an atmosphere of spirituality, of godliness, of holiness, of righteousness at Wonthaggi Baptist Church? My prayer is that, yes, I hope and I pray and I trust that God would give us a high score of who we are as God's people here at Wonthaggi Baptist Church. Secondly, would he be pleased with our attitudes toward him? If Jesus walked in this morning, what would be our attitude towards him? Actually, he's been waiting there for us even before we walked in, even before the worship team, and worship team has helped us to sense the presence of the Lord with us. That's what the worship team does, to prepare our hearts to hear God and to see God in our midst. What would be our attitudes towards him? What is our attitudes toward his word? Many times when the word of God is preached or read, or someone shares something about the word of God, quite often, because we don't agree with it, we say, oh, I don't agree with that. Wow, it's the word of God. Maybe you say you don't agree with their interpretation. Sometimes people can interpret a scripture without its context. And you've heard me say this before, I'll say it again. A text out of context is a con text. Remember that. What about our attitudes? What score would Jesus give our attitudes? Our attitudes towards others within the fellowship. Our attitudes towards others outside the fellowship, our attitudes towards the lost. You know, I have a feeling that part of God's plan for the last few weeks for me was to be able to share the good news with people. I'll tell you about it when I see you face to face. But I had so many occasions to talk about Jesus, to tell them what Jesus is doing, even in spite of lying there on the bed, to be able to talk to the doctors and the nurses and the staff and the cleaning staff and even the patients. They heard it from me about Jesus. You know, get all excited about Jesus. What score would Jesus give you today? I would like to know that he gives me a high score. I pray that that would be true of me. I pray that it would be true of all of us gathered here today and those who couldn't join us. Who changed my plans? You know, Jesus had a plan for his church. He still has his plan. His plans never change. Guess who changes? The Apostle Paul warns us about deviating from the plan of God. I'm going to deal with this plan at the moment. We need to refresh ourselves with the plan of God again for our church here at One Peggy. Paul reminds us of some dangers, and these are the dangers during these last days. He warns the young pastor, Timothy. He says to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5, it'll be up in your screen there. Thanks to Andrew and Mark for doing a great job there. Thank you. You should know this, Paul says to Timothy. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. Stop there for a moment, my friends. Are we in the last times? You better believe it. And that we are living in very difficult times. I don't need to tell you about it. Verse 2 says, for people will love only themselves and their money. Can we see that around us? I've seen it a lot. I've observed it a lot. There are people, he says in this verse, they will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to parents. How about you young guys there, sitting in the church this morning? Listening online, how many of you today are disobedient to parents? Well, the scripture says that's the only one that's got a promise attached. Obey your parents. As long as you're under the control and the rule and the home of your parents, obey your parents. I learned that as a little boy. I learned it as a young man. And looking back today, I'm thankful that I obeyed my parents. Ungrateful. There are so many people who are ungrateful today. We say that. So many ungrateful. Paul says they will consider nothing sacred. How true. We're living in a world where the sacred things of God is rubbished today. Where the sacred rules and commands of God don't mean anything anymore. Verse 3 says they will be unloving and unforgiving. You know, dangerous to have this unloving and unforgiving heart. They will slander others. Do you know what about so-and-so? Yeah. Slandering other people. Never ever do that. Always speak good of people. And they have no self-control. That's a gift of the Spirit. A fruit of the Spirit, sorry. One of the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. We all need it. Every one of us, and we ask, have need to ask God, give us that self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. Very true. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride and love pleasures rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. This is a hard word from Paul. Right at this very end, he says, stay away from people like that. Don't associate with them, one translation puts it. Have nothing to do with them, another translation says. This is the way. The dangers during these last days is to deviate from God's plan. Do you think that the church globally has deviated from Christ's original plan? His church? I believe so. I've been in ministry now for a while. I've been serving the Lord, Marge and I, for 49 years in pastoral work. And I can say, I can see the change and the shift globally from the original plan that Jesus had for his church. I'm going to ask the second question. Do you think Wantagi Baptist Church has deviated from Christ's original plan for his church? Do you think so? And how? How has the church changed? Deviated, I mean. Well, change into the likeness, into the character, into the nature, into the church that Jesus wants it to be, a holy, spotless, blameless bride that he's coming for. So how have we changed? It's up to you, and it's up to me, part of this church family, to decide how have we deviated from Christ's original plan. How do you prevent this from happening? We can take steps to prevent it. Number one, by keeping a constant check on who we are, each one of us individually. First, taking a constant check of our lives, who we are in Christ. And secondly, whatever we do, does it still match his original plan for us? Do you remember, I'm going to take you back to the day when you said, Jesus, I repent of my past. I surrender my life to you now. Wash me clean, cleanse me. Accept me, Lord, as your son, as your daughter. I accept you into my heart as my Lord and my Savior, and I'm going to follow you and obey you. Remember that day? I hope you do. If you don't, it may be time for you to, this day, to become that day. And from that plan that God had, the Lord had for you, have you deviated from that? How can we prevent this from happening in the church today? Secondly, is the Word of God to be our final authority on all matters of life, church life, and godliness? For everything we do today, whether it be in the church building, outside the church building, in our homes, in our work spot, in our playground, wherever we are, in the shopping centers, the Word of God to be our final authority. This is the only way we can know the truth from error, from the Word of God. Truth from error, from the Word of God. This morning, Marge and I were listening to someone preaching on the television, and he said something. I told Marge, that's not biblical. It's not in the scripture. How true, how conscious we've got to be of this. Who changed my plans, Jesus is asking today. This is the foundation for his church. Peter's declaration of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. I'm going to read it in its context. When Jesus came to the region, starting at verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered that question, a very personal one. That was a universal question. This is a personal question. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. We know what Peter said, but Peter never knew anything. No one told him about this. That's why Jesus said, my Father revealed this to you. That's why you know I am the Messiah. And that is the foundation, Jesus the Messiah. And in verse 18, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And I'm not going into all the Greek words used in this verse today, because that's not my emphasis. He says, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. You know, when some groups say, this Peter was, the church was built on Peter. Wow. If it was built on Peter, what a shaky foundation the church would be on. But the rock is that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. Don't look for any more messiahs. Jesus was saying, Peter, only my Father has revealed that to you. And upon that, I will build my church. And if any church is being built on anything else, then it's not being built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the rock. Jesus is the rock. And I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven to you. Once the church is built on the rock, then whatever we ask the Heavenly Father for to bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we ask God to release on earth will be released in heaven, because we are solidly founded on the rock, Christ Jesus. And then in verse 20 of that same passage, Jesus says, he sternly warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. There's the key. He didn't want anyone else to know that he was the Messiah. He wanted his disciples to know that. And he proved it with his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection, and his ascension. And he's going to prove it again when he comes again. Jesus never established the church as an afterthought. The church was never established on Peter. The church was established upon the Messiah, the rock, Christ Jesus. Jesus had no backup plan for his church, but his own body, his own life, shed and broken on the cross for you and for me and for the whole world. That was his plan for the redemption of his church. Jesus indicated that the church and the kingdom were the same. You remember in the Old Testament, we read that Jesus, the people of God, was referred to the kingdom of God. And in the New Testament, the church is still referred to the kingdom of God. It's there in the same passage, in the same Matthew 16, 18, and 19. It's interchangeable. The terms are used interchangeably. And it's right there. You can check it up again. Paul referred to our Lord's plan to make known God's wisdom through his church. You know, that's one of the purposes of the church today, is for God to reveal his plans through his wisdom, through his word, through his church. And if we can come back to that and say, we are going to be, and we want to be, and we will always be the church that Jesus founded upon himself, and the word of God will have final authority in everything we say and do. Wow. Go, Wantagi Baptist Church. Yes, God will bless. You see what's going to happen. Let's look at what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. God's purpose is all this, in all this, was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety of all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan. Who changed my plan? Well, we do change the plan that the Lord has, but we cannot. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus is the beginning and the end of his plan. In Ephesians chapter 1 and 5, Paul described the church as the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. Now, in the first part, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, God has put all things, if you want to underline that in your Bibles, underline it on your iPhones, God has put all things under the authority of Christ. Because earlier in the chapter, he said, the Lord has been raised to the highest position, and all authority has been given to him. And he's put everything under his authority and has made him the head over all things For what? For the benefit of the church. So important, this verse is for us today at Wonthaggi Baptist Church to know, as the body of Christ, God has put all things under the authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and has made him the head, the supreme authority over everything to benefit his church, to benefit Wonthaggi Baptist Church. Verse 23, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ alone. In Christ alone we stand, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Everything has to do with Jesus, from beginning to the end. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is our everything. He is our all. And Paul reminds us of that. We are his body. And in chapter 5, I'm not talking about husbands and wives here this morning. I'm talking about the church. And Paul says, Paul uses the illustration of husband and wife here to illustrate how the church should be functioning within the plan that God had for his church. Verse 23, for a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Many get upset with that verse. I'm going to tell you, don't get upset. He's not talking about, you know, he is the boss of the wife. No. He is the head, because you read on further, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for his church. So don't get it out of context. He's not asking the husbands to dominate. And husbands, don't ever dominate your wife. That's not what the Lord intended. He said, love your wives. But the final authority depends on you. When things go wrong, husbands, you have to take the authority. You have to take the blame. We have to take the blame. Me. For a husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body. Jesus is the savior of his body. And we, as husbands and wives, I pick that up, but we husbands are the savior of our wives. We should take care of them, love them, protect them, guard them, care for them. But Jesus is the savior of his body. Who? The church. The church is his body. As the church submits to Christ, so your wife should submit to your husbands in everything. But that's for another subject. Let's move on. In this Ephesians 1 and 5, Paul describes the church as the body of Christ, which I've shown you, and he also says they're the bride of Christ. The bride, the wife, the close intimacy between bride and bridegroom. In Ephesians 1, 22, 23, and chapter 5, 24, 23 and 24, we read that. So the church belongs to Christ, and he must be recognized as the director, the CEO, the head, the chief, you name it, whatever you like. Scripture calls it the head. He is the head of his church. I'm reminded this morning that in 1975, I think it was, when we were pastoring the Bombay Baptist Church, the church man's church home was just above the church building where we used to meet for our services. And we used to live up there, two floors up. And one day the doorbell rang, and I opened it and said, hello, what can I do for you? And I saw this man there. He said, I want to see the Father. And I did this. And he looked at me. And the stairway that came brought him up to the second landing was going up to the terrace. So he said, oh, thank you very much. He started climbing the thing going up. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to see the Father. I said, no, he's not there. He's in heaven. And he looked at me and he said, no, no, I want to see the Father. I said, yes, the Father is in heaven. So who is in charge of the church? I said, the Father. I confused him, but I explained it all to him later on. You know me, I won't let him go. I told him about it. There's only one Father. His name is God, our Father. And Jesus is the Lord of the church. He is the head of the church, I said. So if you want to speak to the head of the church, That's Jesus. I'm only a servant. And we talked at length. And I really helped him that day. Now, this was and still is Christ's master plan for his church. Never forget that. This was, still is, Christ's master plan for his church, that he is supreme authority. No one else. No pastor, no elders, no leadership team, no governing body of the church, no church council is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of his church, and no one can change that. And those who don't accept it will find out one day when the head of the church will call the church to account. Hallelujah. Let's take a fresh look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 22. So then you Gentiles, he's talking to the Gentiles. By the way, I think most of us gathered here this morning will be Gentiles. We admit that. We are not Jews, right? Most of us, right? Thank God for this verse. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. Hallelujah. You're a citizen of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're the citizen of his kingdom. I'm a citizen. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, even though we are Gentiles, because of the cross, because of Christ. You are members of God's family. I'm so glad I belong to the family of God. You know that song? Yeah, you can sing it later. John will help you. Together, we are his house. But take note here. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Old Testament and New Testament. The prophets and the apostles. We are built on that foundation. And then Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming one holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of his dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. What is our place in his church here? His purpose was and still is to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, making peace. We're all foreigners. We're all strangers. But through the cross, through Christ, we are one in Christ. His purpose was and still is that we are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I belong to the family of God. Let me close with three points that I want to make. What is our place in his church here at Wonthaggi Baptist Church or wherever God takes us? That is why wherever God has taken us, we feel part and parcel. I've missed you. Marge and I have missed being with you. Even this morning, I would have loved to be there in person. But that's why, because you're part of my family. We are family now. We belong to the family because God called me there. He's called us to serve you. And that's why we're there. So the three things we need to know as God's people at Wonthaggi Baptist Church is, number one, we are made citizens of Christ. A citizen is someone who has full rights and freedoms of the place. So you do. If you're a part of the family of God at Wonthaggi Baptist Church, then you have full rights and freedoms to be part of this place. We are both Jews and Gentiles, doesn't matter what your background is, have full citizenship, not temporary residence. You have full citizenship rights to the kingdom of God. We belong to the kingdom of God. We belong to a much wider body. Just a part of the local body belongs to the kingdom of God. God's kingdom has no boundaries, no obstacles to keep us, no boundaries, but instead, God ruling his people. Always remember that it's God's rule. We enjoy this freedom and security as citizens and not outsiders looking in. We are not outsiders. God has not called us to be spectators. He's called us to be actively participating in being the family of God. Secondly, we're not only citizens, we are members of God's family. Paul records that the church is the family of God. That's why you must have heard me constantly referring to the Wonthaggi Baptist Church family. We are family. We're God's family. Can't change that. And so in a family, what we need in a family, and I've seen this over the years, you've seen it over the years, harmony. Harmony blends a family together. And the Lord wants us to work in unity. He wants us to be one in mind, one in heart, one in spirit. There he commands the blessing. And if we want the blessing of God on the church, and I'm sure you do, then let's live together in harmony. Let's not try to pull against each other. Let's not go off at tangents. Let's work together in harmony. There we become the family of God. Especially God's family should be seen as united. Go and read Ephesians chapter 4. He wants us to be united, his body to be united as members of God's family. We are united by one thing, by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. I say to people who say to me, oh, I can't get along with so-and-so. I said, I got bad news for you. No, what's that? When you get to heaven, you've got to share a room with that person. What are you going to do then? They have no answer. So I said, get on with them now. Get to know them. Put your differences behind you. Bury them under the blood of Jesus. Shake hands and become brothers and sisters in Christ. Become a member of the family. Otherwise, you're not a member of the family of God. We've got to love everyone. No, that's what Jesus did. Thirdly, Jesus is the cornerstone. The cornerstone of a building is the most important part of the foundation. Am I right, builders? I didn't hear that. No, I can't hear you. They haven't connected me, so I can't hear you, but I'm sure some of you would have agreed with me there. It's the reference stone. It's the first stone that's put there, and the foundations are laid in reference to that one main stone. Then you get a good foundation and a good building that comes up from there. That's what I'm told. I'm not a builder. But from my studies and from looking into this, I realized that the foundation stone, which is Jesus Christ, he is our cornerstone. He is our foundation stone. Build your life on Jesus, not on anyone else. Don't build your life on me, my friends. No, build your life on Jesus. But I'd like to say, like the apostle said, Apostle Paul said, follow me even as I follow Jesus Christ. I'd love to say that. Follow me just as I follow Jesus Christ. But I'd say, pattern your life, mold your life, shape your life on the cornerstone of the building of God. And that's Jesus Christ, the main reference stone, the chief cornerstone. We should never create new walls and partitions that keep people out of God's structure. Wonthaggi Baptist Church should be one, united, no divisions, no classes, no differences. We are one in Christ. Amen? Come on, I'm sure you can do better than that. Amen? Yes, that's much better. Yes, Jesus is the cornerstone, and we are one in Christ, and we don't make walls to be built up around us, between us. And we say, Lord, take down the walls, tear down the barriers, the obstructions, the things that prevent us from being your family. And Lord Jesus, who changed your plans? We don't want anyone to change your plans for Wonthaggi Baptist Church. Amen? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege you gave me today to deliver that word to your people. Lord, help us all to be one. Help us not to deviate from your plan for Wonthaggi Baptist Church. Help us this morning to recommit ourselves, to surrender ourselves afresh and say, Jesus, here I am. Make me one of your family members here. And if there are some of us, Lord, who have never taken that step of committing and dedicating our lives to you, and making you the Lord and Savior of our life, may that happen this morning. And if we have deviated and departed from you, if we've become a little cold and indifferent, I pray that you stir us up this morning to be your people, the citizens of God, the family of God, built on the cornerstone, the Jesus Christ himself, and that his life will be flowing through every one of us. That's my prayer this morning, Lord, for us as your church. For I pray this in your wonderful and holy name. Amen. God bless you, my friends. See you next Sunday, God willing. Bless you.